razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brown.
When I hosted with Joel.
No Blankers today. He's hanging out with some family. He sorely misses me. He's already texted me zero times, letting me know how much he's missed me. It's Brendan Riley filling in. Brendan always behind the glass, so he's got a little different look when he's on this side of the glass. And B-Mac filling in for Brendan Riley.
There's not glass in front of my face.
We need a little Windex.
You can see me better?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not kidding. We could use a little Windex. Air conditioning.
You're a little less smudgy today. 713-780-ESPN. Nick Caserio, what should the leash be for Caserio? We spent a lot of time talking about Lovie Smith, but we say Lovie Smith has a bad roster. Well, who's building the roster? It is Nick Caserio. 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line. Caserio, when we were talking about the running back room, because the player evaluation, I think Caserio does get points for what he's done with the rookie class so far. Now, four games into it, it's tough to tell. I like what I've seen from Derek Stingley Jr. Like, I'll question the philosophy of going corner number three, but I've liked what I've seen on film from Derek Stingley Jr. Has he been better than Sauce Gardner? Debatable, I lean no, but I like Derek Stingley Jr. as a player. I think he's really good already. I think he's going to be even better. Kenyon Green, like I like Kenyon Green a lot. He was getting roasted a bit for his pass blocking in this Charger game, and there was a couple of whiffs where he did look pretty bad, missing an assignment, got spin moved, you know, got put in the blender. I can't remember who it was, but got right around him. But there were some other pass blocking plays where I'm like, okay, that was really good from Kenyon Green. So it's like kind of like the rookie learning curve. I think he's going to be fine in pass block, and I already think he's really good as a run blocker.
And that's why, for me, I think the window is a little bit shorter. The leash is a little bit tighter. I just think that year one, you get a almost total pass on rookies. Like, you can really suck in your rookie year, and at most positions, I'm not going to give up on you. There are some where there are exceptions. Like, I think most good receivers are good pretty early.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you get a pass in your rookie year. By year two, it shouldn't be there were plays where Kenyon Green looked good and plays where
he
looked bad.
You're talking about the player, not Nick.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like you should have a better grasp of what this draft class looks like next year.
Sure.
And it's the same. Like, by next year, you should have this draft class where you have, what, four or five guys where you're hoping to be impactful?
Sure.
They should all be impactful next year. That's the goal. And then you have the rookies where you start to see flashes. And like, you add those things, and all of a sudden, half your team is comprised of, or half your starters are comprised of two drafts by this guy. You don't need to be perfect, but you need to be looking, like, I'm being honest with you. The Texans feel unwatchable at times, man. They cannot feel that way next year. They don't have to be good, but they can't feel painful to watch.
A lot of being unwatchable, though, is because of the offense.
Yeah, it's because of quarterback, too, and I'll admit that.
You could be 3-13-1, either way. Let's say Team A's 3-13-1, Team B's 3-13-1. Like, they're just really bad teams. But one looks good offensively, one doesn't look good offensively. They're both worlds apart from being into the playoffs. But the offense is going to look better and, like, more pleasing to the eye.
The pushback I'll have, and I do agree with you, that's fair. Fine. Let the offense be unwatchable next year still. Then I need to have faith in the defense to make big stops, which I don't have right now. Like, did you feel like last weekend Chargers have the ball down three? You don't even need to stop them from scoring. You just need to stop them from getting a touchdown to give your offense a chance. Did you feel like they would? Because I didn't.
Justin Herbert's elite.
And that's fine. And here's the thing. That's not a complaint. You don't have to expect this year's defense to do that. But if next year's offense is unwatchable, I do want to feel like the defense is capable of making those stops.
The thing you mentioned about Caserio that you give him a lot of credit for is the Watson trade, which the timing I give to you is fine. I think I could have traded Deshaun Watson for three first-round draft
picks.
Dude,
I think, little bit off topic, but like, do you actively trade stocks at all?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the same idea, right? When things are falling apart, kind of recently.
I don't know about that. Like, Deshaun Watson, I don't think you can compare Deshaun Watson to some, like, S&P index top 500
stock. Yeah, he's less safe.
Like, he's left safe on the field, but you also know that he is a commodity, is a top 10 quarterback. So, like, he is a top 10 quarterback. The market isn't going to change on that. He is a top 10 quarterback. That is, like, that to me is tangible. That is not something that's going to go through peaks and valleys.
I think he's probably – yes, well, I mean, feel you, very I good about him being
– You could debate that, but the four teams, and probably even more than the four teams that are trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, view Deshaun Watson as a top 10 quarterback.
I think it's a lot easier to pull the trigger on Watson early, not getting as much because you were worried about what was coming.
Oh, no doubt about
they
that.
They had to wait for so many – like, how many lawsuits were there, right? How many accusations were there? Unless you're confident that nothing's going to come of those, what happens if he goes to jail? Like, I get that wasn't something we expected.
Well, then
happen.
Why didn't he trade him at the deadline? There's a lot of people that were criticizing Casario for not getting something for nothing at the November 2nd deadline.
That's my point. He recognized.
Well, I mean, he's guessing.
maybe he's guessing, but he guessed right.
Yeah, he did. He got the timing right. I'm not gonna oppose saying that he got the timing right.
I think there's a lot of reason to be scared and sell early, and he didn't.
No, he didn't. That's fine. Like, that's fine. But once you get to that point of time when he was, willing to trade Deshaun Watson, he was ready to trade Deshaun Watson, he had teams hammering down his door. He had team owners and general managers flying to Houston.
You would have traded him
Deshaun
before you got
Watson.
To that point.
I don't know about that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What's the leash? What's the window for Texans GM Nick Caserio? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Big C, you're on the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Big C?
What's going on, boys?
What's up?
I said this at the beginning of the season. If you get to the point where you fire Lovie Smith after like three seasons and roster hasn't shown any noticeable improvement at all, like there's no kind of improvement, that's when you got to let Lovie go too.
Oh. That's way too long.
I'm saying three. I'm giving him the same amount of leash as he has Lovie. Three seasons. If there's no kind of improvement, you need to get rid of them both at the same time. Just clean house, start over.
Jeremy, if there's no improvement after this, after next season, if there's no improvement after next season, bye.
Yes.
Bye to both of them. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care if it's Lovie. I don't care if they hire somebody else. They need to look like a better team. They are the worst team in football this year. After being maybe the worst team in football last year. If you look like that in year three, bye.
Look, I'm willing to give Caserio longer than you are, but if you're not showing improvement, then what are you doing?
I am an absolute expert at rebuilds. I watched them fail time and time and time and time again. And I'm telling you, you can usually tell that they're failing well before teams are ready to move on. At least well before my team's ready to move on.
Look, I don't think this team's going to win four games this year, but I honestly think that this team's better than it was last year. Like, I don't think it translates in the wins and the losses.
I still
think this team's a more talented roster than it was a year ago.
They are worse than I expected them to be, but I agree that they are better.
They're close. Just listen to them. They'll tell you. They'll let you know how close they are.
I don't know about that. The one thing I'll say,
right there.
The reason I think, like, the reason they are better, but it doesn't feel like it, is because their quarterback play has regressed.
Yeah. Look.
Like, somehow, you have a worse quarterback than the guy at the second half of last season. If you had that Davis Mills, you wouldn't be as hard to watch as you
might have a winning record. Might have a winning record. If you had 2021 last five games Davis Mills, you have a winning record right now.
So you're giving them the Colts?
Give them the Colts.
Win.
You know, either you pick Denver,
I think
Chicago.
You're 500.
I don't care.
I can buy 500. I don't know if they're winning.
Okay, that's
those.
Fine. I'll go there. I'll go there.
You're I can buy that.
You have two wins. You have at least two wins.
Which is still a very different feeling
than 0-3-1. Absolutely. 713-780-ESPN. What's the leash for Caserio? 713-780-3776. Back to the HRMP listener line. Woods, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Woods?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Great.
Hey, my thing with Nick Caserio, last year I wasn't a big Nick Caserio fan because, to me, he brought in too many geriatric players, and he was hoping for a diamond in the rough, which we never did get. But we did get one, Ingram, and then he traded Ingram, you know, and then he started making changes throughout the roster, just getting rid of the players and everything. But he did what he needed to do to try to start moving forward and move away from the Bill O'Brien era. Now, the draft pick that he picked last year, they're all trash. No one is worth nothing. I don't want to say it may be good to play on the team that's Lopez. And he really should be a rotational player. Yeah. He's not someone that's going to wreak any havoc on the defensive line. Now, the tight end, the quarterback, anyone else that he brought in here that he made trades to get, players are not panning out at all. Now, the draft pick this year, the Pierce, the running back, he hit with him. Petrie, their safety, the cornerback, the offensive guard. Naturally, we're looking great there. So next year, hopefully, he'll hit also on those. So far, I got to give him a better grade than what I gave him last year. Last year, I gave him a D as in dog. and it was horrible. Now, this year I had to give him a B as far as his draft picks because they are panning out to be good players. Now, as far as free agents, he's still missing on free agents.
Yeah.
He's still looking for these diamonds in the rough, but we need playmakers. Unfortunately, we don't have any playmakers on their team that can wreak havoc. Once you have a playmaker on your team, that can make everybody else better. Look at what happened with the linebacker went from the Rams over to Buffalo. I mean, it just put their defense at another level. Even when he went from Denver to the Rams, it even helped that defense even more so, even though they already had Donald there. You know, but once you put playmakers on that team, it helps everyone else who's a role player become better because now that playmaker can push those players to the other side like J.J. did when he was here.
I hear you,
and
Woods.
That's what we're missing.
D for Casario last year, B for Casario this year. I want to address the free agency stuff when we return. 713-780-ESPN. What's the Casario leash? What's the window? And look, was Nick Casario put in a spot where he could bring in those playmakers right away? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brendan Riley sitting in for Blankers. Blankers hanging out with the fam. BMAC behind the glass. It is the Killer Bees. Woods just calling in talking about Casario. D last year, B so far this year. The thing with the free agents, look, he can't bring in the playmakers. The cap situation just was not in a spot where you could do that. And if you are finding ways to do that, then I think it's setting your team back long term. So it's hard to really get a fair gauge of what Nick Casario is going to be as a player in free agency. I think it's why this year coming up is going to be such a kind of make or break for Casario in the sense of we're going to know more about him because he's going to have a good amount of money to spend on free agents. Now, the free agent that he has brought in, and Woods basically saying that they're older guys, if you're a rebuilding team, it's not a bad way to go about it because you bring in a Mark Ingram, you trade him for, look, they didn't get much for him, but you trade him for an additional pick. Jerry Hughes, if somebody wants Jerry Hughes at the trade deadline, I'm not opposed to trading Jerry Hughes at the trade deadline. You bring in these veterans, try to show their value, and hope that somebody's going to trade for that player when the trade deadline comes up. Jerry Hughes, I think, was a hit. Like, he's been fine. Mario Addison, we'll probably see him play against Jacksonville. What does he look like? Marlon Mack was a complete swing and miss, though. And, like, you mentioned it was worth the shot. Sure, it's worth the shot, but it was also a miss. Like, he swung at Marlon Mack, and he missed on Marlon Mack.
They're just so low-stakes free agents that they went after, and I'm also on the side of that's fine. I actually have next to no issues with the way free agency was handled. Would I be willing to take a swing here or there? Sure, but I don't have a problem with it. My hesitation, and I think this is a really easy thing to do. I think every fan base does it. I think we're giving a little bit too much credit to this draft class this early.
That's fair.
And I mean, across the board. Like, I really like Petrie. He's really fun to watch. But we don't know that he's going to be a good starter.
He had a bad game against the Chargers. He got beat by Gerald Everett on that first touchdown. Flat out beat. I mean, destroyed. Everett burned Jalen Petrie. The couple of those long runs by Austin Eckler, Jalen Petrie cheating into the box, trying to make a big play. They just run right around him.
I'm not going to pretend I'm sitting here grinding offensive line tape. But for the most part, what I've heard on Kenyon Green is mixed reviews leaning towards good.
I would say I'm more on the good side.
Yeah, I think that's mostly what I've been hearing. You know, Stingley has had some of his struggles, but I'm not too worried about that either out of a corner in the first round. It's too early on all these guys. The only person I'm pretty comfortable saying is going to be good is Dameon Pierce. And I want to, like, caution from suggesting that means very much. Like, I was adamant, and I got a lot of crap for this, that I didn't want the Texans to spend a day one or day two pick on a running back.
Okay.
Why? Because of guys like Dameon Pierce. I think the running game is so much more about teams that are committed to running the football. Just teams that build their offensive line to be good at running. I think it is scheming up runs. Like, how consistently do we see teams with good running backs lose their running backs? And, oh, hey, look, the backup's really good. I can tell you my team, the Lions went 70 consecutive games without a 100-yard rusher. 70 consecutive games. Oh, look, they found DeAndre Swift, great running back, right? He gets hurt, and Jamal Williams runs for over 100 yards. Like, it's about the team more than it is the player. So, cool, you found a really good player at the least meaningful position in football.
I think it's a little bit extreme saying it's the least meaningful position in football.
Outside of kicker and punter, what's the less meaningful? It's running back. I don't even think it's close.
I mean, you're talking about how it helps in the scheme, right? Like a running back having success is more about the offensive line. It's more about scheming it up. But there is a level of like the very best talented running back is going to be better than the 16th, 17th most talented running back. I think you can look at other scheme fits all over the field. I mean, do you need to be a great receiver if you have a great quarterback? Like Hunter Renfrow is not an extremely talented dude. But he knows how to find space. He knows how to get open. Like, he makes himself valuable.
Yeah, certainly. There's a level of this at every position. What I would tell you is that at running back, it's next to impossible to overcome a bad scheme and a bad offensive line in a way that I don't think it is
I really don't disagree with you. I don't disagree.
I like Dameon Pierce. I love watching Dameon Pierce. He is fun to watch run the football. And I'm glad they took him in the fourth. That's a win. Like, while I didn't want them to spend a day one or two pick on a running back, getting Dameon Pierce in the fourth is a win. I just think that, like, if you come out of the draft and that's your biggest win, I would call that a failure of a draft. And that's not to say it's going to happen. It's certainly possible Stingley is the biggest win, or Green, or Petrie.
See, I think this is kind of just, this to me is more about the position. Because running back gets the buzz. Running back gets the attention. Running back gets all, like, when Derek Stingley Jr. has a good game, you're not really supposed to notice him. When Jalen Petrie has a good game, you'll notice him a little bit more because he's going to force a fumble, something like that. When Kenyon Green plays well, you're not going to notice him.
Well, you tell me. Are you confident right now that anybody else is going to be a great player? Because I'm not.
Confident they'll be great?
Very good.
Of all the rookies?
A plus starter.
I'm not ready to call Dameon Pierce.
I am.
Great.
I was ready to do that in the preseason.
You just talked about how running backs are a product of the system. They are. Now you're calling Dameon Pierce great?
I mean, I think that there are 100 great running backs. I think there are 100 people capable of being a great running back in the NFL at all times.
Well, then that to me is more of a testament of what you think of the running 100. Back position. I think he's a good running back in the NFL. Am I ready to put him on the great category? No, I'm not ready to put him on the great category. I've liked what I've seen from him, especially recently. Like, he's improved in areas that he was not very good at in week one. Like, pass protection is better there. He's been able to catch the football out of the backfield. And one of the knocks that I had on him early was that a lot of times he was actually seeking contact because he's like this big bulldozing running back. Like, he's not doing that. He didn't do that as much in the Chargers game, which I found to be encouraging. I think he's going to be a really good player. Am I ready to call him great? Great's like what? Top five, top 10 running back in the NFL? I can't put him there
all
yet.
I'm saying is I think we get a little bit overexcited. And when I say we, I don't mean Texans fans. I mean NFL fans. I think we get a little overexcited at the flashes we see early. I do think it's like the flashes are important.
Yeah.
When you don't see flashes early, it's concerning. But I think lots of players show flashes early, and it turns out that that's who they are.
I think a lot
they're
of
guys
too,
with occasional flashes.
And I think also a part of it, and I think Davis Mills is a good example of this, that he showed some flashes, and it's like, okay, he's our quarterback in the future. I think part of it's also hope. Like,
that's a big part of it.
You're hoping that
huge part
Davis Mills can be the franchise quarterback. You're hoping that Derek Stingley Jr. can be a lockdown corner. You're hoping that Kenyon Green can be an all-pro left guard.
If you're taking guys in the first three rounds, more often than not, they're going to be capable of showing at least flashes.
Yeah.
No, it's just whether or not they can do it consistently.
They should have the talent. Here's my leash for Caserio. 713-780-ESPN. What is yours? 713-780-3776. You talked about how a little bit earlier, like right now you have some foundational rookies that you just drafted. We just talked about a bunch of them, Stingley, Petrie, Green, Pierce. You expect those guys next year to be impact players for your team.
Right.
So you're basically getting a rookie class plus a year, right? Like this year's rookie class plus next year, they should be better. This is something you talked about with the Deshaun Watson trade. He hit a home run there. Nick Caserio should have the time to reap the benefits of the Deshaun Watson trade. He just had two first-rounders in 22, two first-rounders in 23. He has two more first-rounders in 24. So if you have a rookie class plus the 1 year for them to be, pieces that you're counting on, he should get through the 2025 season.
I will probably be okay with that. I think that I hesitate to just guarantee somebody gets to see all the fruits of a trade because – like, you can make a good trade and then fail time and time again after that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't even think I'm asking for that much out of next year. But there are things I need to see. I need to see flashes out of next year's rookie class. Some guys don't. I think most in the first three rounds show flashes. But so I need to see flashes out of those guys on top of foundational pieces from this year's class that make you go, okay. Like, Here's what I would say. You need to feel next year like you're away, a year away from playoff contention.
I completely agree.
So
completely
if you agree. Don't feel that way, and I'm not saying you won't, but if you don't, I'm not letting Caserio stick around just because.
I guess the way that I view that, like if you're not there, I don't think it's going to be because you don't see young players that are ready to take the next step.
This isn't really a Caserio thing as much as it for me. I think it's a fundamental rebuild thing. No doubt I'm giving you two classes as a GM. There is no scenario where I'm firing you before you get two classes.
And he's only had one.
Right. So he gets next year no matter what. No matter what. You probably get a third, but it is not free. You got
to see improvement.
I have to feel optimism going into your
thing. I guess my thing is I just don't see how there won't be improvement. If you have two first-round draft picks, how do you not? Like, how do you... I feel like they fail.
They suck.
Right, but I just kind of feel like it's bulletproof. And maybe
I don't agree with that.
I mean, you take any... If you had two picks in this year's first round and you pick the worst two, you're still going to feel like you have a couple of promising players.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Name the two.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not. Here's what I'm saying. Especially if one of them is a quarterback, which they probably will be. I think you can tell sometimes when a quarterback is just not it after year one.
No, sure. But I'm talking about this past draft class. Like, if you just take any two first round picks from the 2022 NFL draft, people are going to think that those two players have skill, that they have upside, that you have a future with those guys.
But after we watch a full season, you may not feel that way.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
That's what I'm saying. At the end of the year, you still need to feel that way.
I don't disagree. I just don't really envision how it can happen. 8769, I embrace the suck. I think this year and next year are the, quote, rebuild years with improvement expected each year. After that, Caserio better have all his ducks in a row with personnel and coaches. I like not bringing in high-value veterans yet, but hate that he's given up any draft picks for free agents with no upside. Maybe more draft picks for players with no upside, like Ryan Finley. Like Anthony Miller, like the cornerback you traded from Green Bay. Like, there's been some head-scratching decisions from Nick Caserio. There's no doubt of it. But the draft I've been okay with. But look, Nick Caserio hasn't passed for me. Like, he hasn't. And we've not made excuses for Nick Caserio. Like, I don't – if I'm looking at the two positions, GM, head coach, which one I trust the more, I would say that I trust GM more than head coach currently.
Yeah.
But Nick Caserio, I'm not ready to hitch my wagon to Caserio and say that he's the best GM in football or top five GM in football. He's nowhere near that yet. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Part of the Texans' success next year, the part of their rebuild, is this first pick that they're going to have. It could be the first pick of the draft. Would you trade that pick to guarantee the Astros make the World Series this year? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No. Joe Blank today. No, he's gone. He's hanging out with the family. We have Brendan Riley sliding over, and then B-Mac filling in for Brendan. Although on the Twitch, it still says Pac-Man Joel. Still says Pac-Man Joel under your name.
Eh.
Although it says Brendan Riley under B-Mac.
I'm going to get him so many extra follows. Everyone's going to be like, this guy's great. I have to follow him.
You might. We asked you the question, would you trade the Texans' first pick, their own, to guarantee the Astros make the World Series this year? We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, though. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Wayne, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing pretty good.
Good. Hey, I got a question for you. I'm over here scratching my head because I'm hearing you yesterday. You guys, I feel like I'm in corporate America. You guys said yesterday, you know what? We can just make sure we go ahead and get rid of Lovie Smith. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And this is a rebuild year. You guys clearly said it with Nick Caserio, but yet you wouldn't give Nick three, four years. Let him enjoy the draft pick. And we know this is a year of sucking year. Why not let Lovie enjoy the same fruits of the labor? I'll hang up and let you guys explain.
Hold on, wait. We don't want you to hang up. We want to talk about this, Wayne.
All right.
I'd like to chat with you about this.
All right.
Lovie Smith has not had a winning season since 2012. His defense last year was the second worst defense in the NFL. His defense currently this year, yards per game, is the fourth worst defense in the NFL. There is some serious thought that Lovie Smith's style of defense, the way he runs it, he schemes it up, can't play in today's NFL. So, like, scheme and coaching and X's and O's and drawing it up, much different than player personnel.
I feel by that. But it's a sucking year. I don't want them to win that one game because I want the first round. So I don't care if it's outdated. I'm saying Castillo picked him. The old thing is, you know, you wet the bed, you should be able to lie in it. But let's go give him another chance. We give Lovie no chance. That's all I'm saying.
I actually think what Wayne is saying is reasonable. I mean, I don't fully agree with it, but the idea that you just get to hire a third coach and we're not even going to blink at it is a little bit weird. Like, no, you shouldn't get to hire a coach who you don't believe in. And I kind of think that's what Wayne's saying to an extent. Like, it's a little bit ridiculous for your second coach to be a transitional coach.
It's just Nick Casario didn't want Lovie Smith, though. Like, Lovie Smith was not one of the... I don't think he had a choice. He didn't have a choice. Like, there was people above him that saying that you need to hire... probably Lovie Smith. The six candidates that were interviewing for the Texans head coaching job, none of them were Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith was not on the candidate list whatsoever. He was not on the list that Nick Casario wanted. There was a Josh McCown. There was a Jonathan Gannon. There was a Kevin O'Connell. There was a Hines Ward. Go ahead, Wayne.
Argument. I think it's an awesome argument. I'm with you on that. Okay, be honest with me, both of you guys, and tell me this. Real talk. If we got to 2000 at the end of this season, 17 games, and let's say Davis Mills was the guy. Uh-huh. And let's say we were 9-8 or 10-7 and got in the playoffs. We wouldn't be considering getting rid of Lovie. We just wouldn't. So I'm saying let Lovie enjoy a first round draft pick quarterback. And then if his defense sucks, get him out of here. But he should be enjoy that just as well as Nick. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Wayne. I get that. The thing, though, like, if you have a defensive-minded head coach, why are you entrusting in that head coach for that first round, like, the quarterback you're taking at the top of the draft?
Here's the thing that, like, because I'm mostly on your side, Jeremy, but I think Wayne had a good point.
I do, too.
I think that this show, and most of Houston, I would say, looked at from day one, Lovie as being a transitional hire that was never intended to be the guy to lead the team.
That would never get fired after 1 year.
But I think that was how we viewed it. We viewed him as a guy who was never really intended to be, like, I know he is for this year. He was never really intended to be the head coach. That's how we looked at it. And it's kind of crazy that we just, like, okay, and moved on from that. Because, like, that's not a thing. I don't know. Is there any GM who hired two? I mean, this is a genuine question. Has any GM ever hired back-to-back transitional coaches?
Probably not.
So it's fair to say, wait, hold on. Why does he get to do that? Why don't you give Lovie Smith the fair chance? I'm not on that side of the table, but it's kind of crazy that we never even had that conversation.
I would be much more inclined to give Lovie Smith. Look, there's a very, very little chance that Lovie Smith is not the head coach next year. I think there's probably less than a 5% chance that Lovie Smith is not back as the Texans head coach. I would be more inclined to have Lovie Smith back if I'm not drafting a quarterback with the top three pick in the
NFL
draft.
Right, so I hear that. But then you're saying that the second coach he hired is not real. He's pretend. He's made up. He's fake.
Doesn't the whole process tell you that?
I don't disagree with you that it does, but is it fair to criticize Casario for that?
That's what's hard. That's what's hard because Nick Casario never interviewed Lovie Smith. They had a Sunday supper. Next day, he's the head coach. Like, Nick Casario was not on board with hiring Lovie Smith. There's a good chance that if Nick Casario doesn't hire Lovie Smith, and he never interviewed him for the position, this all came after the Brian Flores lawsuit, that Lovie Smith is not even in football right now. Like, the whole Sunday supper, Lovie Smith is now the head coach of the Houston Texans. If that didn't happen, I'm not sure Lovie Smith is coaching any football anywhere.
I don't even disagree with you. I think we're on the same side. I think both of us, we viewed Lovie as a transitional coach. We don't want him to be the guy long term.
Sure.
But if you are a believer in Lovie, if like you are somebody out there who thinks that Lovie Smith is capable of coaching a Super Bowl winning team in the NFL, I don't blame you for going, this is crap.
Right. Look, I think Lovie Smith is solid. Like, I don't want to get my words twisted here. And my idea of moving on from Lovie has much more to do with who you're drafting at the top of the draft than really it does Lovie Smith.
I don't follow that.
I don't think, well, if you're drafting a quarterback number one, Lovie Smith should not be the head coach of the team. Who's that?
Lovie Smith's not solid. If you can't give him a rookie quarterback, he's not solid.
Well,
Those two things can't be.
Yes, they can, because it's about philosophy. It's about what you're building around. Like, if you're drafting a quarterback with a top three pick, you're changing the philosophy and the mantra of how your team's going to be run. You're going to be an offensive first team that's going to build around the franchise quarterback, and you're going to have a head coach in place that you trust from an offensive perspective. You can be solid as a defensive-minded head coach, but still not want to hitch the wagon to a franchise quarterback.
Do you think you can't be a defensive-minded team and take a quarterback early in the draft?
No, I don't think that. But I don't think that it maximizes what that franchise quarterback can be immediately.
But I'm kind of lost here. I think like you're getting mixed in with like how you view things. You want to take a quarterback first, and you want to build around the offense because you take a quarterback first. You don't have to.
No, that's partly true, but also with that, I want the best coach that I can find.
For that quarterback.
Yes. Absolutely.
I guess I follow that. The reason I don't want Lovie Smith is because I don't think Lovie Smith is a good coach in today's NFL. That's why I don't want Lovie Smith. But if you think he is, and you just think that like he's not the best guy to maximize your quarterback, you know what? I'm okay with a coach who you think can build a good defense and then just hire a hotshot offensive coordinator.
But if you're going to have that mindset, you don't draft quarterback in the top three. You draft Will Anderson, and then you say, here you go. This is our philosophy as an organization. We're going to win with defense.
No, I don't think that's totally fair. It depends on how you view this quarterback class. If you think a quarterback in this class is a guy who can lead your team, whether or not the offense and the quarterback is your priority, you still don't pass on it simply because of how hard it is to find those guys.
Okay. But if you're not like ready to be a playoff team, why are you going to have a defensive-minded coach instead of an offensive-minded wizard that you can have working with that quarterback right away to develop them as quickly and as best as you can?
Because I'm trying to be a playoff team by defense. I'm trying to
then don't take the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think you can be a defensive-focused team and take a quarterback.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Derek, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys, I know, hear me out. I know you're not going to see it, and sometimes you just can't convince people no matter what. Transitioning, you use the word transitioning. I'm going to do baseball, football. Bo Pelter, transitioning coach. Dusty Baker, just a transition. Lovie Smith, just a transition. There are several factors there. And then we say defensive-minded. Bill Belichick was defensive-minded. But before Tom Brady, when he was at Cleveland, and anybody else, Lovie Smith did take a team defensive-minded, to the Super Bowl. One Tom Brady. Bill Belichick has done nothing without Tom Brady before or after. But he was defensive minded. Mm-hmm. But do you understand the transitioning? Bo Porter, what do these three people have in common?
They're black.
Dusty Baker, the world and everybody looks at us as transitioning. Bill Belichick is not, I can say it. He's gotten, his son's a defensive coach now, nepotism. He has won nothing without Tom Brady before or after.
I don't think that's totally fair. Like, he won nothing without him, with him before or after, but he won six with him?
He also won 11 games with Matt Castle as his quarterback, which might be the greatest Bill Belichick coach ever.
I would argue the Patriots overachieved last year, too. I don't know. I get that Brady played a big role. I think to just entirely erase those is unfair.
Look, I think it's more Brady than Belichick. I don't disagree a whole lot with what he had to say in terms of, like,
you know,
the greatness of New England.
I still don't, for the record.
Don't what?
They had elite defenses in every single Super Bowl they won. Brady didn't win a single Super Bowl without a top-10 defense. Don't tell me Brady was the reason you had a top-10 defense every single time.
Well,
it's not.
Even if you want to eliminate the Brady part of it, he won 11 games with Matt Castle and went to the playoffs last year, 10 wins with a rookie quarterback.
I don't subscribe. He did. Look, did he need a great quarterback? Yes. Welcome to the NFL.
Yep.
Look, that's not a Belichick thing.
Like, the transitional thing with Lovie, I don't care if Lovie Smith is back next year. I just don't want Lovie Smith back next year with a quarterback that you're taking in the top three. I'm moving on. This is more about, like, this is really had nothing to do with Lovie. This, to me, has more to do with completely changing what you're doing from an organizational point of view, that you're going to do everything to enable the quarterback that you just draft. So you're going to go find the best offensive wizard that you can, make him the head coach, boost up the quarterback as best as you can. It has nothing to do with Lovie Smith. So if you go Will Anderson, keep Lovie Smith. That's fine.
For me, here's what it comes down to with Lovie Smith and a quarterback. If you think Lovie Smith is the guy, I don't give a damn who you take in the draft. It doesn't matter.
Well, they don't think that. They don't think that.
And if that's the case, if you view him as a short-term, you know, option while you are building the team up and then you go and get your guy, then I don't want to hold on to him if you draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
If he's gone no matter what, if that's just like set in stone that Lovie Smith is gone eventually.
Well, yeah. That's every coach in the NFL, though.
Well, I mean, no. I think GMs hire coaches with the intention of them leading the team for the next 30 years. Usually it doesn't work out that way, but that's how they're hired. If you view Lovie Smith as that guy, who, look, until he hangs it up, I believe he's our guy, then I don't care what you draft. If you know he's gone, then it's silly to let him work with a quarterback for a year.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. There's a text I want to get to on the other side about Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith, Nick Caserio, if we're willing to give Nick Caserio a leash, why shouldn't we be willing to give Lovie Smith that leash? What should be the leash for either one? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's give away a four-pack to head to the original Greek festival. They'll be hosting their annual event October 6th through 8th. Come enjoy the food, the live Greek music, activities for all ages, and much, much more. Caller number 4 to 713-780-3776 wins a four-pack of tickets to the original Greek festival. Visit GreekFestivals.org for more information. Children under the age of 12 are free. So that's outstanding. You got kids, you got little ones. Free entertainment for the kids and the little ones. It all starts tomorrow. Get out there. Head over to GreekFestivals.org for more information. All right, talking about Lovie, we're really talking about Caserio. We kind of transitioned a little bit into Lovie. 8437. Lovie's been given a defense with a bunch of bums making up the roster. His defense kept the Broncos and the Colts down for three quarters. Meanwhile, the offense did nothing to keep the defense off the field. I can't help but imagine that if the offense could have sustained drives where they grind clock, ending in scores, keep the opposing offense off the field, the defense would not be bottom four. I don't really disagree, 8437. Like, that's the thing is, like, you don't even need points. You're talking about, like, the point, like, the offense going down the field, sustaining a drive and scoring. You didn't even need points. Like, against the Colts, a first down or two wins you that game. Not turning it over in Chicago wins you that game.
I think the truth is fair or not. Neither you or I are out on Lovie because of anything he's done this year.
No, I think he's like, that's why I think he's solid. Like, do I point to the numbers as like tangible evidence? Yeah, I touch on the numbers as tangible evidence because it is what it is. And that's why I call Lovie Smith solid. I think he's solid as a defensive coordinator in the NFL. I think he's fine. I think a lot of times he schemes up this defense better than the personnel that he has. Like, I believe that. I do think there are things that he does that are a little bit out of touch with current modern NFL. Also, from a head coaching perspective, there's a lot that goes into that, too, from a modern NFL. Like, how many dudes are punting in the situation where Lovie Smith punted in week one? And I think because of the negative reaction for that, he's been more aggressive to go for on fourth downs after that, which is kind of troublesome, too. Like, be who you are. So, like, those are all the things that are involved that whenever we, like, evaluate Lovie Smith. Like, Lovie's fine. Like, I don't dislike Lovie at all. Now, I can point to the organization saying that you got to a spot where you're putting up with fine. I don't love that.
I think it's very difficult to fairly judge Lovie with this roster. Mm-hmm. Not to say it's impossible, because I agree with you. I think at times the defense has played better than maybe the all-around talent, but I just think you're a little bit limited. And a lot of my feelings about Lovie moving forward are based on what they were coming in. They're not based on the four games I watched. They're based on how I felt before he was hired.
Same.
And I suppose there's room for it to change. I'll be honest. I'm not, while I still feel the same way, I don't really want Lovie Smith to be the guy. If they were adamant that he was the guy, they believe that Lovie Smith can build an elite defense and they're just going to let the talent, like, they're going to focus on offensive talent.
Uh-huh.
I could live with that.
See, I could live with that as well.
If you thought that it was Caserio's guy.
But just the way that it happened is so clear that he's not the guy.
I get that.
Like, they might have wanted him back as the defensive coordinator. They might have wanted him in the organization. And I believe that. Like, if Josh McCown was going to be the head coach, I firmly believe Lovie Smith was going to be his defensive coordinator. So I don't think they dislike Lovie, but they didn't want Lovie to be the head coach. They were interviewing Hines Ward as a head coach. They were interviewing Josh McCown as a head coach, and they didn't give Lovie Smith an interview at all.
I think maybe the case that you could make, and we haven't seen a ton of this lately because your GM doesn't typically talk a ton in season, There was a press conference. I want to say it was after the draft. I can't remember. But listening to Caserio talk about the way that him and Lovey work together, like I place a high value on people who work together well. You don't?
I do. I put a value in that.
I think it's very valuable.
I think that was lip service and a lie. Like, Lovie Smith flat out told us on Barstool Sports with Big Cat, his number one defensive position that he likes is a defensive tackle, and they drafted a cornerback at number three, which was his fifth most important defensive position, his fifth most important defensive position. You took that at number three, and when you were on the clock at number 13, you could have had a once-in-a-generation defensive tackle talent that Lovie Smith flat out told you was his most important position. That's not working together.
I remember you saying this. I never really fully bought into what you're saying. I hear how
Why
you
not?
Get there. because I don't think you draft exclusively based on the position. I mean, it's part of it, but I don't think you only draft based on the positions you think are most important. I think it's possible that they preferred the guys that they took at the spots they took them.
Hold on a second. You don't draft players at positions that you think are the most important?
That's part of it, but not if the players who are available aren't as good.
You can make the case for that at number three. Like, you're not taking a defensive tackle at number three. You're not taking Jordan Davis at number three, but you do at 13. You do at 13.
You're also able to trade back. I mean, maybe they wanted to trade back.
You didn't have to trade back for 13. You had 13. You traded back 13
and 15. But I'm saying they did trade back. Like, they got extra value on top of the pick they took. Who's to say they didn't want him if he was there?
I'm pretty sure Jordan Davis was still there at 15, though.
Maybe
it was 13. Maybe
I thought Eagles he went at 13.
I think he did go to 13.
I think he went at their pick.
Eagles traded up to 13.
I don't know. I don't think not taking a single player at the position that he thinks is the most important means they don't work well together.
But
here's the thing. The reason I believe
are they working together, though?
I think for Caserio means it's a guy who's willing to give me more control than others. And you have been okay with that.
You're saying that me specifically has been okay
with that? Yes, you have been okay with the idea of Nick Caserio being more involved in everything than your general, your average general manager would be.
Yeah, but just don't tell me that you're like working together when I don't see the evidence
that
you're working together.
I think part of working together can be this guy is willing to have a little bit less control than most head coaches, that he's willing to concede and not need as much Look, power is everybody.
That could be a testament to Caserio, and it could be a negative on Caserio, right?
Yeah.
It got you David Culley, who is this guy? Why is he interviewing for a job? And then it got you Lovie Smith, who no one would have hired as a head coach.
But if you're Caserio, and that's something you do value, and Lovie Smith is willing to give that to you, that is the case I can see to Lovie being his guy.
Hey, but it could shorten the leash on Caserio.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because it could diminish your overall product. If you have subpar head coaching because you need that control and it diminishes the product, you're overseeing
it's
that.
A very
that falls
risky.
On you.
It's a very risky way to do business.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 7584. I am nervous about Texans fans giving up on young quarterbacks too soon. Should say quarterback, singular, not plural. Look at Jalen Hurts this year. How many Philly fans were calling for his head last year?
I think this is a hot take. I think you should be able to move. You should be ready to move on from bad young quarterbacks quicker. I think that there are more examples of guys who show you they suck and they suck than guys who turn it around. Not saying that there's. I mean, there's some of both, but I don't need to give guys a very long leash at quarterback.
How long is this leash?
It does. You know what? That's not a. It so much depends on what's around them. Like, I think
Trevor Lawrence was bad last year. Are you giving up on Trevor Lawrence?
No, but who was he throwing to? Name his number one receiver last year.
Last year would have probably been...
I don't even remember. That's why I said that.
Was it Marvin Jones?
Marvin Jones.
Was
like
it Marvin
32-year-old
Jones?
Marvin
I think
Jones.
It was Marvin Jones.
Let me tell you something.
Who was the fantasy like dude that was supposed to be the guy that got hurt?
Oh, DJ Chark.
DJ Chark, yeah.
So he wasn't there. Like, so it does depend a little bit on what's around them, and you can certainly question what's around Davis Mills after Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is a good receiver. Guy puts up 1,000 yards every team he's been to, which is way too many of them.
He's a good receiver, but is he a top-end number one?
No, he's not, but it's certainly better than Marvin Jones Jr. Marvin Jones Jr. is not a top-end number two.
Is he better than Christian Kirk?
I would say he's proved it on the field that he is.
He might not be at this point in his career.
That's like I would say resume Brandon Cooks better
There's
than
no
Christian
argument
Kirk.
To make for what they've done so far for Kirk over Cooks. So, I mean, you could say that for the future.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kirk is, what, 25, 26? So he's got more time left in his career.
You could also say Christian Kirk's had a better year so far.
But,
yeah, but we're talking, what, 3-4 games?
Yeah, four games. But what do you?
That's a tiny sample size compared to what Brandon Cooks has done over his career.
There's no denying the resume. But if you had to pick one of those two receivers to be your guy for the next 5 years, which of the five are you taking?
That's a different conversation. Well, I would take Kirk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Because Brandon Cooks is, what, 29?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. He's approaching that 30 number. It's possible that the regression just hit him a little bit early. Jalen Hurts is a good example, though, of a guy who they added A.J. Brown. I don't know where you feel about him. I'm a big A.J. Brown fan. Yeah, I think A.J. Brown is one of the more underrated receivers in the league. I don't think we necessarily talk about him in the top five category. I think he might be. You know, you add that to a guy, of course he's going to look a lot better. So I guess I'm not being totally fair to say give up on them earlier, but if they have weapons around them and they're still not good, I'm done.
I think you can watch the guy and realize that they're not to the level of talent for the NFL.
Yeah, and David Mills is a great example of that. He's missing dudes on every throw.
And it's also how you're missing them. Like, if you don't, if you're like a little bit late with your timing, okay, well, you hope that speed of play is going to be something that you catch up with down the road. Like, Trevor Lawrence, I thought last year, had moments where he looked like an NFL quarterback. There's throws that he makes where you're like, oh my goodness, this dude's making some elite throws. Zach Wilson even has moments like that, and he hasn't been very good. I think if you were to look at the body of work on Davis Mills tape, you find a guy who's incredibly mediocre, incredibly average. He doesn't look the part, to be quite honest with you. Like, I know he's big. I know he's got a good enough arm. But he's very happy-footed. He doesn't have good pocket presence. He's not a very good athlete. He's inaccurate when he throws the football. And maybe worse than anything else, which I think is the best attribute for a quarterback, his decision-making is questionable at best. That's what I see when I watch Davis Mills. I think you can see that in quarterbacks young, like whenever they're young as well. Like even if it's their first or second year, you can see that and be like, ugh, this guy just doesn't have it. Arizona did it with Josh Rosen. I mean, Josh Rosen was a first-round quarterback. They saw him for a year and like,
I mean,
this guy doesn't have it. We're going to have to take another quarterback. And people were like, well, Josh Rosen could still turn out to be something. You know, they just thought Kyler Murray was going to be better.
What's did Rosen Paxton done since? Lynch ever start a game?
Paxton Lynch was awful. Terrible.
I'm saying another first rounder.
Yeah, I think you can tell it early. I don't think that we as fans can tell it early, but I think if you're watching a dude every single day at practice, you're seeing the reps against other NFL competition, I think you can tell pretty quick if they have the makeup or not. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, every Wednesday at 2, it's in case we missed it. It's all the stories we've been dying to get to. We just haven't had the chance. But we do, and we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.